Welcome to Expounded Universe, Season 5, Episode 7. The book, Red Harvest, by Joe Schreiber. The year, 2012. Chapters 24 through 27. With your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go.
Give me a big old teased-haired Darth. I feel like he might be a little on the anime side.
He's a little anime.
So let me ask you a question, John. How you doing? No, we're not doing that bidding.
It's real weird, but I'm still
thinking. Welcome back to Expounded Universe. It's the podcast where we read old Star Wars Expanded Universe novels a few chapters at a time. And I am your host, John. Over there is your other host, Jeff. We are going through Red Harvest. And how you doing, Jeff?
I'm all right. Pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, that was a very smooth intro.
Yeah,
a lot of stepping on your vowels real hard.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Hi there. That kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. You got to do good vowels.
People
expect
those long vowels.
You got to really work the vowels in there so people know.
So that you sound more like Duffman.
Ah. So, yeah, we read some chapters in this book.
We read
24 through 27.
Yeah, this is Christmas Eve for John and I right here.
Hell yeah.
We're taking a couple of episodes off. We'll still put them out, but we're not going to be on them.
It'll just be an hour of dead air.
We didn't round up any guest hosts either, so
yeah.
It's just an hour. It's like a John Cage thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because we're reading, you know, Red Harvest about zombies, and then we release, you know, Dead Air. It's it's very meta.
Yeah, Dead Air would be a great name for a podcast about zombies.
Yeah.
And then also it would be a great name for a podcast about zombies where there actually isn't anybody talking or anything happening. It's just hissing and clicks.
Yeah, just hissing and clicks would also be a great band.
Oh, that would be a great band.
Oh, hissing
yeah.
and clicks.
Yeah, I'd see. That would be like a great band for like snakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Hissing and clicks definitely opened for Claps and Haze.
They did. And it's weird because their grungy lo-fi aesthetic is not particularly great at like in accompaniment with Claps and Haze. And the bands don't get along at all.
Oh, no. But yeah. It was contractually obligated that they get together because they're on the same label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours.
Yeah,
the System Mastery Music Label, which has so many amazing band names and not a single good song.
No. So we start out chapter 24. We are back at the precipice of doom with Hestizo and Tulk.
Yeah, and they're engaged in fearsome and pitched battle with zombies. At this point, I don't think there's any of these particular zombies or anyone we know.
No.
Wim Nictor is gone. He's probably pretty smashed up.
I mean, she mentioned that one of them was a Zabrax, so it might be Scopeak?
Oh, that's right. We were thinking that it's a chance that Scopeak's out here.
I mean...
But we aren't sure.
Yeah. I don't think we're ever going to get verification on that or not, but I feel like if you're going to mention someone's a Zabrax, and we've only mentioned that in relation to one character so far in the book, you're probably safe in assuming that.
I mean, the thing is, Scopeak got murdered out of the shower. Like, he finished a shower, he walked back into his room, and he got murdered. So, it would be a naked Zabrak, and I feel like she might have mentioned that.
No, he got out of the shower, got dressed, and then he got attacked.
Oh, did
in his
he?
Room.
Oh, okay. I thought he was still naked. In my head, he was still naked.
In my head, everyone's naked.
All
it's how
time.
I stop from mm-hmm. being nervous.
Yeah, except for you.
Yeah. Obviously, because yeah. that would make you way more nervous.
Yeah. I do change your outfit from what you're actually wearing.
That's... Oh, of course. I'm like a paper doll to you.
Yes, yeah. Except it's a paper doll that I can only dress in, like, a dude who is running for mayor in the antebellum South.
Yeah, obviously.
Like, you have a white seersucker suit on and a flat-brimmed round hat.
I need you to know
yeah.
that the second you started saying, but I can only dress you as... In my head, that is the exact outfit that came up.
Yeah, just using your sticking your thumbs into your suspenders and pulling them out and
snapping. Oh, yeah,
them.
Obviously. I was like, the fact that you then started to describe it, I was like, oh, shit, we spent too much time together.
He's dressing me up like I'm in the Music Man. I knew he would.
And I knew this would happen.
So...
I'm like Mickey Rooney in The Music Man right now.
Is it Mickey Rooney? I thought it was Buddy Hackett in The Music Man.
No, but I'm like Mickey Rooney.
Oh, you're like Mickey Rooney if he were in The Music Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
because yeah, it's Buddy Hackett who sings Shpoopy.
Oh, Shpoopy.
Yeah, Shpoopy. That's the...
Shpoopy.
Yeah, now a skeleton who'll go out on the very first date. He's Spoopy. How come no one's done that yet?
Huh?
Someone has probably done that.
No one's done that. But now it's out there in the world, which means someone will.
Yeah.
And we'll get nothing.
Yeah, we'll get no credit for doing the he's spoopy filk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't need any more filth credits. I pretty much that's all I can do.
He is so poopy, so poopy, so poopy, so poopy.
A skeleton with a horn.
Toot, skeleton toot. With a horn.
Toot, toot.
Ugh, get out of here.
Is it not a horn? Do they have like a bugle or something?
Yeah, it could be a trumpet.
Is it trumpet? Yeah, could be one of those. Huh? Yeah, anyway, they are being attacked.
Speaking of skeletons.
Zombies are attacking. And Tulk's got one of them at the end of a spear.
Yeah, well, this one starts with Tulk being like, ooh, a guy scrabbled over the edge. And he's like, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of this. And he just straight stabs a zombie with a spear.
And it doesn't even slow the zombie down. The zombie's just coming on down the spear at him.
Yeah, Tulk has not really realized what the fuck is going on at this point. He's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, I figure I can still just murder these dudes and be fine with it. And he does not quite get that you can't kill them.
I mean, at least, I don't know why people are, at this point, why anyone would still be like, well, I'm going to stab this thing, instead of like, I'm going to try and take it apart.
Well, like, the best he doesn't
you,
know.
Yeah. The best thing you could do to one of these zombies is take off its arms and legs.
I mean, as far as Tulk is concerned,
yeah,
he has no know. Idea what a zombie is.
It's just some jerk in his worldview.
Yeah, it's yeah. just some asshole attacking him, and he's like, well, you know what always works? Stabbing a dude.
Murder. Murder is great. Yeah. Also, stepping on people with my big, stanky feet. Whippedfeet.com.
Whippet-feet.com.
Yeah,
it's different from Whippedfeet.com, which is a shoe site for Whippeds.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. Like, if you're recommending to your Whippet aunt that she go shoe shopping, you have to be careful not to add the dash, because otherwise she's going to end up in a really nasty Whippet foot fetish.
Oh, yeah. It's like back in the day, there was a Penny Arcade mm-hmm. and then Penny Dash Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And Penny Dash Arcade was the webcomic, and Penny Arcade was some dumb nonsense.
I feel like Penny Arcade was some dumb nonsense, and then the one with the dash was some different dumb nonsense.
Well, yes.
I mean... Some of their jokes were pretty good.
I mean...
Come on!
I mean, the claw shrimp is classic.
Yeah, there's a couple of pretty good ones back there. And at this point, they've become like somehow completely integral to the gaming convention scene.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
You can't extricate the two of them from it anymore.
It's unfortunate, because you're like, oh, I want to go to PAX. That's a great convention. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Dick wolves. Great.
Oops. Anyway. So, this is also the point where Hestizo finally figures shit out that the orchid is inside of these zombies.
Because
mm-hmm. she finally hears the orchid going like, hey, quit stabbing these things. They are dead.
Just
you
get away from
kill
them.
Kill them.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, you're in them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm in them and it's my fault. Like, I like that the orchid feels like responsible and like messed up. It was like, oh, it's my fault. As soon as that horrible scabrous put me in that vat. Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. So Tulk's like, what are you doing? He's fighting off zombies, and he's just like, what are you doing? And she's like, I am talking to the orchid, because the orchid's in all of these things. And he's like, well, make the orchid stop them then. Come on. Let's do this.
Well, the fucking, basically describes her as, like, not even knowing what the fuck she's doing. She's mm-hmm. just reaching out with the force blindly.
Yes, she is not very good at this. This is a surprising situation.
But she starts telling the orchid to grow.
She's like, grow! You have to grow! I was kind of hoping that one of the zombies would just get huge.
You have to grow, and then the zombie's like, no, damn it!
Shrink then! Plants don't work that way. No!
Oh, goddamn!
But she's like, grow! You have to grow!
Keep growing until the square cube law takes over, and then...
Well, notably, the orchid's like, it really hurts. I don't want to grow.
Yeah,
please don't make me do this.
It starts growing, and the orchid is like, ow, fucking ow, though.
Ow, this really hurts. I'm sorry. I can't do this. Please don't make me grow. And it doesn't even really work all that well. Like, the one zombie, it works eventually, but, like, tendrils start kind of coming out of his ears, and you can tell that, like, there's stuff going on inside of him. You can see, like, vines rippling around under his skin and junk.
And, I mean, it happens to all the zombies around them start getting, like, nasty, weird little, like, vine ripples and stuff, and then mm-hmm. you can see some, like, plant growth, but the main one she's focusing on is the one on the spear.
Yeah, the one on the spear, which is kind of a bummer, because that's the only one that's at bay.
No, it's climbing down true. And is basically going to bite Tulk.
I guess. I mean, at a certain point, you think he just flipped the spear over. Just kind of fling that guy off into the distance.
Nah, man.
Off the end
it's
of that
grabbing
spear.
The spear. You have to lose the spear, and Tulk's not losing his spear.
That's true. Tulk doesn't lose his spear for no business.
And he doesn't realize that if this thing bites him, he's going to turn into a zombie either, so it's not like he's going to be afraid of it.
I guess that's true. Yeah, he's just like, I don't care if this thing bites me. Whatever. I'm a big, shaggy whiphead.
Yeah, what are you going to do? You can't bite through my big, shaggy skin.
Yeah, I'm going to tusk you up real good first.
Yeah, tusk, tusk.
But anyway, yeah, she keeps going like, grow, grow. And the orchid's like, I don't want to. This sucks. Don't make me do this. Stop that. Grow, 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 grow. And finally, it does work. She puts enough vines into the head of the zombie on the spear that it pops.
It straight up, like, bursts a bush out of his neck and explodes his head.
Mm-hmm. Which is rad. This is a cool thing happening to a zombie. Like, a Star Wars universe thing where a zombie is exploded by a tree is pretty great.
Oh, yeah. I was like, all right. I already knew that she was going to have to be able to do something with the orchid to these zombies. I thought it was going to be controlling them. It's like, ooh, you're in their body and you're the one making them alive, so I'll control you and then I'll be like the zombie puppet master.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of okay with her just being like, oh no, I'm going to straight like poison ivy your head out.
Yeah. But then she just points to the next zombie in a line of them, the one that's got her by the leg, and is like, do it again! Grow, 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 grow! And, you know, the orchid's basically been screaming in pain the whole time. Like, I can't do this. Please don't make me do this. And she's like, you have to grow or I'll die! And the
orchid's like, sorry! And then just disappears.
That's a bummer. Yeah.
Because at this point, she has used the orchid's ability to do stuff, which I assume is spread so thin that it's not like it's going to be easy for it to grow vines and shit in people.
Yeah, especially because there isn't really a whole lot of good fertile ground in there. So she basically exhausted the orchid to the point where the orchid can't even respond.
Yeah.
Is the orchid even still there? We don't know. We're at the point where we actually have no idea whether the orchid has been removed as a player from the story.
Nope, but she is, she's definitely burned out for the moment.
Yeah.
So now it's just saved by a giant fucking turbo laser.
Yeah, so they're still fighting the zombies and about to lose and be zombified completely when up from the ground, 30 stories high, pops a giant basalt turret that just bursts forth from the snow and starts vaporizing zombies with turbo laser shots.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the hell? Thankfully, Tulk is not the kind of guy who gets gobsmacked.
No, he just grabs fucking Hestizo and is like, and it's go time.
Yeah, and he just runs the shit away. Because in addition, when the turret bursts forth, not only does it kind of pop some ground and appear on its own, it also reveals some big cylindrical like openings into the ground around the area. So they run and hide in those.
I gotta say, I am pleased
that
a turbo laser can just vaporize one of these things.
Yeah, it's good to know there's something.
Yeah, because, you know, before this, with the whole beheading thing, you're going like, all right, so how much do we have to do to get rid of one of these? And apparently, it's actually fully destroy the head, not just remove it, or I guess vaporize, like, the upper half of its body.
Yeah, you pretty much have to remove all the parts of it that could be weaponized. Like, the best thing you could really do is crush the head completely, I'm guessing. Put a big rock on the head.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it says that the zombie on the spear, like, slumped and stopped moving as soon as the, like, weird bush blew its head up, I was like, okay, so it's sort of still zombie rules? Like, you have to destroy the brain?
Yeah, you actually have to destroy the brain, not just sever it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can just get zombie heads, and which can still, because, I mean, the thing about these zombies is that at their core, they're force-powered.
Yeah, it's weird, undead, like, plant force nonsense. So, the brain, like, the undead brain is still midichlorian connected to its body, I guess.
Yeah, so if a zombie loses its brain, it doesn't matter, because it could just go pick it up.
Yeah, but if the brain is destroyed, then it's like, oh, I don't have anything to direct my energy with.
Yeah, so it's been kind of fun to see what the rules are as they're pushing along through the story.
Yeah,
especially given that we are now on the downward slope. We're the back half of the book.
I mean, I was really looking forward to getting some like Last of Us style zombies where it's just like, what is this? Oh, it's a zombie and like half of its head is a plant.
Yeah,
and it just like comes at you and like the left side is a mushroom and the right side is just like teeth.
Get them all cordyceps style.
Hell yeah,
that'd be pretty great. But instead, I guess the plant is in there that's in the zombies is still a good guy.
Yeah.
Just not a very useful one yet. But just you wait.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it's over. Maybe there's no more good plant stuff.
Maybe everyone dies now. Yeah. Who knows?
It could be. It could be that the book is actually blank in the back half and we didn't notice.
Yeah, it could be every single chapter after the ones we've read. Nothing.
Just Hostess fruit pie commercials.
That would be great.
Hi there, I'm Scopeek for Hostess Fruit Pies.
Oh no, a horde of zombies. But can they resist Hostess Fruit Pies? Our hunger is sated by cherry and apple.
Listen, listeners, you're going to want to, or readers, you're going to want to buy a lot of Hostess Fruit Pies, because I've got embarrassing naked pictures of them.
That's weird. Why would I want to buy the fruit pies if he has pictures of the fruit pies naked? Like, wouldn't it be better if he had pictures of me naked and he was like, you have to buy fruit pies or else I'm going to show everyone these naked pictures?
I mean, theoretically, but I didn't want to be gross, and so
also,
instead it's naked pictures of fruit pies.
Naked fruit pie pictures, is that just without the wrapping, or is it like I'm looking at their insides? Because I feel like that's getting a little weird.
I'm letting you explain this so I can tell you yes or no, because I have no idea. In my mind, I just figured that you peeled back the wrapping and there was a dick in there.
Oh, yeah. It's Hostess dick pies.
Yeah, Hostess fruit pies. Lemon filling. Also, hanging brain.
What's this one? Well, we've got cream, apple, cherry, and dick.
New Hostess Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fruit pies, and you can see their turtle dicks.
The turtle dick in every bite.
You can really taste the turtle dick.
You know, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when we're doing this podcast, mm-hmm. I have to wonder, mm-hmm. what's going on with us? What's happening here?
Why are we thinking about, I'm just thinking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fruit pies.
I'm just thinking about turtle dicks, that's all.
That's not a big deal. I mean, do turtles even have dicks? They don't, no.
Well,
if you've seen
the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles porn parody with porn star April O'Neil, then obviously you would know that yes.
Well, no, they don't, because if you've seen the Teenage Mutant porn star parody with April O'Neil, you know that she just fucks Casey Jones while the turtles stand in the background and cheer.
Then you obviously didn't watch all of it because they circle jerk as well.
Oh, shoot. No, I didn't watch all of it.
So, excuse me.
Wait, who's more embarrassed at the moment?
I know. Excuse me. You didn't watch the entire porn parody to completion?
You're right. I sure didn't. I pretty much wanted to see what happened in it, so I looked it up, and I was like, oh, I guess the turtles watch. That's a bit of a disappointment. Anyway,
oh, no. Click. They're fighting whatever the porn shredder is called.
Boner?
No.
Oh, no, wait. He's just the best friend of What's-His-Face from Family Ties or whatever.
Ah, yes. Boner.
His name is Boner.
Yeah. You know what? That's a discussion for another time. Chapter 25.
Oh, how many layers back do we need to back up here? So we can
I know, right? I'm like, we've gone too deep. This digression has gone way too deep.
Much like the mini flaky layers of a Hostess fruit pie.
So, chapter 25. It's time to finally, after all of this time, check back in with Scabrous.
No, this is a really interesting chapter. So Scabrous, for whatever reason, has escaped the compound entirely. And where did he go? Right to the Miro Caw, which you'd probably remember as the name of Tulk's ship.
Now, it has apparently crash-landed like 2 miles outside of the Academy.
I'm still not sure why he didn't just land his ship instead of crash-land. Do you think he crash-lands everywhere?
I don't know, man.
It gives his ship character if it's completely covered in ugly dents.
I mean, I guess, or maybe there was just, like, a blizzard was happening and he lost control, or he's just a very shitty pilot.
It could be that
pilot. Like, he's an amazing bounty hunter and a shit pilot.
Yeah, like, flying was never the part of the job that he cared about.
No.
Like, for the first 10 years of his career, he just took a bus to all of his kills. Just sitting there on his phone playing Monster Hunter. But Monster Hunter works on phones in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
Of course. I feel like I don't even really need to explain that.
Duh.
Yeah. But, you know, eventually he's like, fine, I'll get a ship. Jeez. You know, when people were stopped passing him over for jobs, they were like, all right, well, we're going to hire you for this bounty. And he's like, great, I'll go ahead and get on a bus.
Oh, I'm sorry. You see in the contract, it says you have to provide your own transportation.
I will. I'll just take a bus. I'm not asking for a company vehicle.
You see, we really want someone that we can rely on for travel.
Are you saying that public transit is unreliable?
Yes, it is.
Well, on our planet. Fine, I'll get a ship. I think my mom's Tercel is still available.
Ah, the Tercel Miroca.
This is Toyota Space Tercel.
Uh,
So
if anyone has a Toyota Tercel, by the way, I need you to get a thing that you put on the back that makes it the Miro Ka.
Yeah, or the Space Tercel, either one.
Yeah, just put the word space.
Yeah. Okay, so there for some reason Scabrous and his HK droid are holed up in the Miro Ka.
Well, no, the HK droid isn't there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's in the communication with HK.
He's in contact with it. I thought it was also there. Okay. In that case, he is, for some reason, Scabrous is standing on the deck of Tulk's ship.
Well, he is looking for Hestizo. And he was like, well, she ran away. The first thing I would think of is she's probably headed towards the ship. So he just went out there because he was either going to find Tulk or her or whatever. Because we also find out in this, Scabrous doesn't realize what's happening at all.
This is a fascinating revelation. This chapter reveals that Scabrous did not expect zombies.
No. Like, the HK droid is like, hey, so back here at the academy, some shit's going down. Like, I just found Hestizo. I got a, 99% match on pheromones for her.
Mm-hmm.
So she's over here, and she's near the library and the Tauntaun paddocks.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, cool. Well, I'll just head back, and I'll cut her off at the pass, and finally we will conclude our business.
Yeah, and then the droid's like, sir, just so you know, there's some weird signatures all over the school. It's like, not life signs, but movement and noise and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He's like, the sensors are weird, and they're getting fucked up information. And Scarab was like, well, fucking fix them then. Like, you don't understand, my dude.
Yeah, he's like, well, fix the sensors. No, the sensors are working. It's that there's zombies everywhere.
He's like, look, there's lots of movement and noise and no life signs accompanying them. So, my dude, what? And we learned that Scabrous was like, huh, holy shit, what do you know?
Yeah, he thought Wim Nictor coming out and attacking him and biting his face off was basically what happens like when you cut a chicken's head off.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I figured this was just like a weird, dying spasm thing.
Yeah, just an effect like a nervous system dying. Caused him to have glowy eyes and sit up and look at me with his cracked head and then run over and bite my face off. That's just what people do after they die.
Yeah.
And then they shit themselves.
Yep. That's it. That's the full list of what happens when you die.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want to be around someone when they die because they will bite you.
Well, only if you're a Sith Master. I mean, if you're not, they just shit themselves.
They just shit themselves.
They just immediately and violently shit themselves.
Same.
Hostess fruit pies. So,
chocolate Hostess fruit pies.
Aren't they Hostess cream pies at that point, though?
Oh, I'll give you a Hostess cream pie.
Oh, no, thank you.
No, thanks. Go. I'm good.
How are you going to do that in that seersucker suit?
Well, I may be a simple country lawyer.
How much do you actually want that suit?
I mean, a lot. Like, a lot, a lot.
I mean, if you could pick any single article of clothing,
that and the hat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the hat makes it.
Yeah, yeah. If you could pick any outfit from history, is that on the top of your list, or is there something else?
I mean, I feel like that would be great, but I would also just look like an old racist at that point.
How do you make it not look racist to wear an old seersucker suit?
I mean, not be white, I guess.
That's a good point. You pretty much have to get a big old sign that says wearing it ironically or something.
Yeah. On my shirt, it just says irony on it.
Not racist, just fat.
So Scabrous realizes that this is like an actual weird infection.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, huh, neat. And the HK droid's like, so do you want me to do something about this? We've got a bunch of other turbo lasers. I could just start laying into stuff. And he's like, nah, it's fine.
And then he heads off towards the Tauntaun paddock. And his plan is hilarious. He's like, well, I'm just going to walk right back over there then, and I'm going to meet Hestizo, and we will have our final discussion as we had to do in the first place.
What?
I don't know what's going on there. I think he needs to transfer Hestizo's control over the orchid to himself.
Oh, I thought it was just, I need to kill this Jedi myself.
Oh, okay. I figure he's probably not quite done with all of his mysterious experiments yet, and that the next step is Hestizo still has some level of control or contact with the orchid, and he knows that. He anticipated that, and he needs it.
See, whereas because he thought his experiment had basically just failed, I assumed he was like, oh, I just need to go
murder
this Jedi because that will conclude our business.
Same thing with Tulk, right? I mean, he paid Tulk for a service rendered. That's not what Sith do.
Yeah.
You've got to betray that guy still. It's a loose end.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he went out to the Miro cause and be like, all right, well, I got to murder this guy because I can't just pay a dude and have him leave. That's weird.
He's already taking a shit in the cockpit.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah. Well, it was the violent one.
Yeah, this is a real peaceful shit. A pacifistic shit, if you will.
Tranquil. Like a Zen garden with a poop in it.
Zen shit garden, if you will. It's like a cat found a Zen sand garden and instead of raking, just shit and buried it.
Which is what would happen if a cat found one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I want to just provide a cat to one of those now. Anyway, I don't know why this episode's so poopity.
Man, we're real juvenile in this episode for some reason.
Loopy. So, yeah, he just opens the door to the Miro-Kaw and just walks right back out into the blizzard.
Yeah.
And there's no mention made in this entire chapter of his blood change backpack thing he's still wearing.
It says that he still has the hiss and clicks of it going. Mm. But it doesn't really say anything else.
No, it says that hiss and clicks are playing on the radio.
If he's got a backpack playing hiss and clicks.
Yeah.
Their new album, outstanding.
Yeah, Dolphin Noises, it's called. Snake Dolphin Noises.
Snake Dolphins.
Yeah, it's just called Snake Dolphins. Okay, so that's enough of chapter 25. That's enough out of you.
So, chapter 26, it's time to check in with Rojo.
Rojo Trace, who is still walking across the kind of hangar bay.
I love Rojo Trace.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I do is because I got to really give it to Joe on this one, Joe Schreiber.
Mm-hmm.
He changes the style of writing that every time it goes to Rojo, it changes to like a noir detective.
Yeah.
Because everything else is like, oh, Scabrous is doing a thing and stuff's happening. Rojo's, when it gets to him, is like, the blizzard wailed around me, digging into my skin. It's like the world knew I was a here, and I was a virus, unwelcome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man, this guy's great.
Looking to implant my RNA into a nearby available molecule. Yeah, it's pretty great. Also, to this point, it still feels like he's on a completely different different story entirely.
Oh, yeah.
Because he still doesn't even know about the zombies, and he doesn't even fight any zombies in this chapter, but he still manages to get in a fight.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. He just, this is the first mild connection to what's going on he gets.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, he doesn't actually touch it.
Yeah, no, instead, he's striding magnificently across the tarmac when he is challenged by a figure standing at attention, the wind whipping his cloak out at a straight right angle away from him. He's got getaway sticks for days. Look at those gams, thinks Rojo Trace.
And out comes motherfucking Shacketh.
Yeah, I figured Shacketh was already out of the story, but here he is. He's not even a zombie yet. He's just a Sith Lord.
Oh, yeah. Shacketh, the Blade Master, is like, hey, Jedi, you fucked up. You came to the wrong neighborhood.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm here on different business. Oh, I figured you were here on the business of getting humiliated and then killed.
Yeah, I love everything about him. He is just the fact that Rojo Trace is an ultimate super badass,
mm-hmm.
but also in this ends up getting fucked up by Shacketh.
Shacketh is just a better swordsman than this guy. This guy is a bit more of a Jedi generalist. Shacketh is literally just a blade master.
Yeah, that's like all he does.
Yeah.
So we get descriptions of their fight,
mm-hmm.
and I do also, again, really like the descriptions because it is very, like, Jedi versus Sith.
Yeah.
Because when it talks about Rojo, he's like, oh, stillness overcame me and all of the cold and the darkness, it all washed away in mm-hmm. the dark embrace of the Force and everything was quiet and still. And then it talks about Shacketh attacking. He's like, oh, he just, like, raged out and fucking went and tried to beat the shit out of me with a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's just like, Rojo goes all, peace and stillness. In the crack of thunder, there is an eternity. And then it comes over to Shacketh, and he's like, fuck this guy. Am I right?
Yeah, Shacketh is just spinning like the Tasmanian devil and making spit noises.
Yeah, Yeah, so he just leaps at him, but all of, he comes down hard at an impact point, perfectly chosen, but a little too slow.
Yeah, I...
Rojo's already behind him. Rojo spins, coming at his neck with a lightsaber, but is met with the lightsaber of Shacklet's own.
Yeah. And now, the battle is fought.
Yeah.
These two go at it, and... Oh, Shacklet isn't looking to humiliate him or toy with him like he said. Oh, he's just full of rage and wants to murder. Like, all right, cool.
Yeah, it's neat. And we also get some of my favorite type of expanded universe lightsaber combat, which is where they describe
when they
describe how they're jumping from form to form.
Yeah. He's like, ooh, I'm going to do one of those little spinny jumps over a dude, but that's actually Form 5's Shadway.
It was Gemso, Form 6, I think.
Form 5. Gemso.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, it's pretty great. But it doesn't work. He has an incredible plan for an amazing attack on Shacklet, but Shacklet just smacks it aside like nothing.
And straight stabs him. Like, Shacklet actually gets contact.
Yeah, stabs him in the chest, but doesn't. It's just a flesh wound.
Yeah. Yeah. So not like stabbed through the heart or anything.
Yeah. So he takes a quick searing cut across the chest, and this is about to begin the spiral of loss for our hero, Rojo.
Yeah, so Shacklet like, spins back and braces himself against a wall and is about to launch forward, and he's like, ooh, Jedi, you're going to get all deadified now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, from the wall, hands!
Yep, hands burst forth from the wall, grab Shacklet, and rip into his face.
Yeah, just... like a face bursts through the wall like the goddamn Kool-Aid man and is like, ah, humph.
Yep, just starts sucking on the holes that is already carved into Shacklet's face.
It is straight using his eye socket as like a cup and just,
yep, it's gross.
It's super nasty.
It's standard gross, and it's not enough that it's doing that. It also starts hauling him up the wall.
Oh, yeah. And at this point, like, the zombie looks up from its little meal, looks at Rojo, and just screams.
Mm-hmm.
Rojo, at this point, is like, what? And he can hear more screams in the background.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're screaming in the same wavelength.
Sounds like they're screaming together, like some kind of screaming a cappella group.
I mean, the book uses the word threnody, which you don't get to hear very often.
No, not many people use threnody.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a real word and all, but boy, is it fun to see somewhere.
You're like, hey, good job, my dude.
Neat.
Way to be.
Yeah, so, yeah, and then I'm sure he says something super noir about the screams in the night.
Yeah. Countless screams, a threnody of them rising up along with it, coming from every direction at once. The night was full of them.
My heart was full of nothing.
I was sweating bullets. I don't know what bullets are because I'm in Star Wars, but I was sweating them.
I was sweating slugs from a slug thrower. Not slugs like the animal.
I was sweating slugs, and it was real gross. Banana slugs.
Big banana slugs. They hurt coming out, too.
Go UC Santa Cruz banana slugs.
Seriously, though, but stop it.
Stop it, slugs.
Yeah, because slug thrower is the expanded universe version of a gun.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I wasn't even talking to you. I was telling the audience.
Audience!
Slug throwers.
They throw slugs.
They throw slugs, yeah. You don't get to see them very
often
on screen.
This is a flamen werfer. It werfs flamen.
It's just a machine that a little hand comes out of the top, and there's a big slug in its wrist,
what?
And it just flicks it at the person.
What?
Yeah. It's mean. It's not a cool thing to do.
No, I mean, it sucks for the person. It sucks for the slug.
No one likes it. No one likes what's happening.
It's bad for everyone.
Even the person carrying the slug thrower also has to carry around a loose bag of slugs.
Just loose slugs.
Yeah, you got to keep them in a net, because otherwise they don't properly slime up. So
yeah.
It's in your pocket. It's just a net of loose slugs. No one likes the slug thrower.
No.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone uses blasters.
Mm-hmm. Just cleaner. More efficient.
Yeah, it's just more efficient.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah. Poops. Anyway, chapter 26 is basically over.
Yep. That's the end of 26. 27, we get to check right on back in with Hestizo.
Yeah. And thankfully, because we're still only like 32 minutes, this is the longest chapter that we
have. Yeah, the rest of them were like 2 pages each.
Yeah. That's
like Scabrous and Rojo's were both super short.
It's been weird trying to go through this book right because it's all these little micro chapters.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, like, oh, we're going to do 3 at a time, because, you never know. You might get three actual chapters. You might get three in a row that are just like three pages each.
Yeah. So we pretty much just always read until we find the big chapter and then stop there.
Read till something actually happens.
I mean, even this chapter doesn't really have anything that's dramatic happening in it. It's just Hestizo.
Oh, sure it does.
I mean, okay, fine. But there's dramatic crap in every chapter. What I'm saying is that we could still probably get through what happens in this chapter in 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Which we shouldn't. We need to stretch this.
But
people
but
are paying
won't.
For this. Wait, they don't pay for this. Never mind. The chapter's pretty short and
hey.
Boring.
You know what? We're done.
Thanks for listening. Hey, Merry fucking Christmas.
You filthy animal.
A whole cheese pizza just for me.
God, I love a whole cheese pizza just for me. It's what I crave.
It's what you're, are you craving it right now?
No. Well,
what are you craving?
I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not.
What are you craving right now? Is it a mint julep to go with your seersucker suit? Rocking chair, maybe.
Ah, this mint julep is truly satisfied. Why, thank you, Daisy.
See? Listen, folks, don't you think he needs and deserves this suit?
God, I should have a seersucker suit, and I should just be on a rocking chair, and then, I don't know, probably get killed by some sort of slave revolt.
And deserve it, I'm sure.
And deserve it,
yeah.
Entirely, because in this setup, I am probably a plantation owner and a terrible person.
Well, yeah, if you're historically accurate into the time period, but I'm saying that, I mean, I just want you right now to have that suit.
I want to be
the one nice thing you own.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that and your computer, pretty much.
Nah, not anymore. My computer's basically garbage at this point.
Fair enough. Well, I want you to have that nice suit so you can walk into any law, or like any courtroom in the world and be like, objection, Your Honor, and then like,
I believe I have some evidence to put forth for the judge, if you please.
But at first, I must dab away the sweat that is collected on my brow.
Oh, my. It is hotter than a frog's backside in July.
It's devilishly hot in here, and I do find myself a trifle tiresome.
My, does someone have some water for me? Why, thank you.
Oh, is there something in this? No? Well, then take it away.
Get out of here. Bring me a glass of cold gin. I'm the worst.
Gin. Glass of cold gin. Add a mint sprig. That's what a mint julep is. No, that's not even close to a mint julep.
Well, whatever. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Which one of us is in a seersucker suit?
Excuse me. Which one of us looks like they know what a mint julep is?
Me, I'm a talking mint julep. It's weird that it hadn't come up yet in the conversation.
Wow, this improv session has gone off the rails.
This is why we don't do real improv.
That and because we don't want to.
Oh, I guess there's also that, yeah.
I ain't got time to do that.
I know, our schedules are pretty full, but there is local improv. There's a San Diego improv troupe.
Oh, I know so many people that do improv.
Yeah.
Like
here or mostly in your Bay Area? Collective?
No, here.
Yeah? Oh,
like,
wow.
You know, Chanel from Swallows of the South that
oh,
I am on.
I did not know. Is she a member of the San Diego improv troupe?
Indeed, indeed.
Oh, that's fantastic.
There's a different improv troupe that someone from the game store is on.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, a couple people that are on it.
Hmm.
Yeah, I know people in improv.
I think at a certain point we should at least go watch one of their shows.
Mm.
How much does it cost?
I don't like supporting local artists.
I feel like going to an improv show is the sort of thing you do on an improv performer's birthday.
Yeah, you're like, congratulations on your birthday. Let's.
All right, I'm going to give you two choices. I will go to your improv show, or you can have anal.
Improv show, obviously.
Of course, it's way harder to get people to go to the improv.
Right? I can get anal whatever. I'm having anal right now. Please quit improving anal at me.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Oh, God damn it.
I need a location from the audience. I heard the butt. Chapter
Hestizo.
27.
Hestizo and Tulk have begun to make their way through some sort of building.
Mm-hmm.
It is ridiculously cold.
And super dark.
Yeah, they don't really know what the fuck is going on, and Tulk is basically just being an asshole.
Yes. Yeah, he's not answering her questions. He's just stomping around.
And I mean, at one point Hestizo's like, look, so I was able to stop that dude because I can talk to the plant and I made the plant grow. And he's like, so
Yeah. I like, she's like, you done talking?
It's like, you asked me to explain what was going on back there. And he's like, yeah, my mistake.
Sorry about that. I shouldn't have asked.
I shouldn't have even offered someone the opportunity to speak. My bad.
I don't care.
I could not possibly give less of a fuck. And I'm like, my dude, you have just landed on a Sith planet full of zombies and you're talking to a Jedi that can make plants grow out of people. How are you this nonchalant?
I mean, you know he's being relatively nice in this situation because he's still letting her tag along, and his plan is apparently to camp out in whatever the fuck this is for the night and then go back to his ship.
Yeah, he's like, this is shelter, so whatever, we'll stay here.
I don't feel like he needs shelter. He's a whiphead. He's from the planet Tula. It's like this all the time there. I think he could walk home to his ship just fine, and the only reason he isn't is because she couldn't.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's also someone that, because he's from Tula, he's like, oh, I know this is a blizzard that's bad, so I should have shelter.
I guess that's fair. So, anyway, yeah, they're going to take shelter for the night, and then he's just like, I'm just going to go to my ship after that. I don't care.
I'm out of here.
I don't care about any of this.
You can fend for yourself.
Yeah, so his plan is stupid, because he's already seen that there's these unkillable monsters everywhere.
But his plan is, oh, I'm just going to hunker down and then leave in the morning. I'm like, really?
Yeah. Well, anyway, they go walking in, and they start hearing some honks and angry squeaks and stuff coming from the...
Honks, squeaks.
Honks and angry squeaks, by the way. No, I'm not doing another band.
Okay. So, Hestizo also wants to really figure out what's going on with Tulk.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts getting up in his mind brain.
Yeah, apparently she is not usually very good at this. She's much better at reading the minds of plants. You think you might have just been a D student at regular Jedi crap and plants are just way easier?
I mean, I feel like it's just, I know plants and that is it. It's like someone who goes, oh, what is this? Oh, I get like an A in chemistry and then like an F in everything else. You're like, oh, that's the one thing you know? Great.
Yeah, well, in any event, it turns out that Tulk is pretty easy to read because his mind's not all that complicated.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I went into his brain, and basically his thoughts are pretty much the same as his ship. It's just a lot of death and trophies and murder.
What's going on up in Tulk's brain?
Murder people. Daniel plan. Yeah, that is basically all that is happening in the mind of Tulk is, oh, you know what would be great? Skulls. I'm trying to get some more skulls. You know what this place could use? Skulls.
Gotta get some skulls up in here.
Oh, how would I get skulls, though? Ooh. Murder.
Most humanoids have skulls.
Ooh, if I could find a humanoid, I could get their skull.
That's one more skull for my skull pile.
Maybe I'll make something out of it, like a skull throne.
Ooh, skulls for the skull throne.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds great.
Thrones for the skull throne.
Thrones for the throne skull.
Thrones for the throne skull. Okay.
Gods for the god blood.
So they started hearing these honks and I'm sorry, we got to finish the story about her going into his brain.
So she's like, all right, that's garbage. Let's keep digging.
Yeah.
So she goes deeper down in there and is like, all right, what else we got in here? Let's see, some old magazines, a few empty cartons of milk. That's
futon.
Weird. Clothes they haven't worn in 3 years, but they refuse to throw out.
One of those French posters for liqueur where, like, a clown is looking out a window.
They've got that Le Chat Noir.
He used to have a girlfriend in his brain, didn't he?
Oh, wow. He's got just an entire tea set? That's weird.
This doesn't add up at all.
This is just covered in dust.
Skeleton of a cat. Skull carefully removed.
The skullless skeleton of a cat.
Yeah. But no, she finds a kind of a block where the deep memories are. And once she goes through it, it's all stuff from, like, Tula.
Yeah, just memories of, like, his first enemies and his family and Snow.
All these memories of Tula and Ioz and that Jataten monkey bird.
God damn it.
What's wrong, John? Don't you think our people are going to love and appreciate these Pirates of Dark Water references?
I mean, we've done enough of them at this point.
The word Tula constantly shows up. I couldn't help myself.
I know. I understand. I mean, if a animal showed up that was a monkey bird, it's not like I wouldn't just go, oh, I can't not do this.
Yeah, or if like a wren came through, you'd be like, yeah, Pirates of Dark Water, we have to do
this. Come on, it has to happen, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay, but anyway, Tula's just the planet where Whip hit her from. So, like, we get some images of, like, his mom and a few things, and then all of a sudden, deep in those memories is Scabrous or some Sith Lord?
Yeah, it's Scabrous in there, and this is weird because I couldn't quite tell if this is just his memory of Scabrous, which is just super fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that he is afraid of, is this Sith Lord.
Or if Scabrous is just also in Tolk's mind right now.
Yeah, Scabrous was just also digging around in the attic of Tolk and was like, oh, hey.
Hey, you see that skullless cat skeleton? Crazy, right?
Weird.
There's some crazy shit in here. You know he has three wooden arrows hanging from chains and they just say live, laugh, love on them?
You know he's got four broken chairs back here? Not even broken in the same way.
And he won't throw them out. I don't understand.
I don't get it. It's a wicker chair, and the entire ass is gone.
And three of them are just strewn across the lawn of his mind.
Come on!
Think about the mind neighbors.
The mind neighbors. When I'm in my mind, and I gotta look out and see these chairs in his mind lawn...
And he's like, oh, probably someone's going to take him. I mean, free broken chair, am I right?
Oh, yeah, he put three broken chairs out with a sign that says free on it. Oh, I'm sure that'll work.
Rain has long ago washed off the free from that white piece of paper that's artlessly taped to one of the chairs. I hate Tolk's mind. I want pictures of Spider-Man.
So, this alerts Tolk, apparently, that she has dug too greedily and too deep into his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he choke slams her into a wall.
Yeah, and then he's like, hey, if I find you in my mind again, if I find you in my head, you'll lose your head. Got it?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm sorry, I'm just a bored Jedi. This is what we do.
Like, you don't understand. You basically just left the gate to your mind open with a big sign that said, come on in.
Yeah.
You don't, there's no defense here.
In my defense, the hinges on that gate have been broken for years.
I just can't get around to fixing it. Someday, though.
One of these days, I'll be able to close that gate after I scoop up all the bags left there by the VA and all the old phone books.
Tolk.
Big, dirty brain. And big, dirty feet. As above, so below.
So, that's good. That was good. I like that. That was nice. Thank you.
No problem.
So
they find some tauntauns.
So they get to the tauntaun paddock. And Tolk finally goes up to one. And of course, this entire time, Hestesa's been like, oh my God, it smells like ass and balls in here.
Mm-hmm.
And Tolk walks up to one of them and is like, hey, you ugly piece of shit. And then it spits in his face. And he's like, ha ha, yeah, this is great. I like, and then Hestesa was like, oh, you mean all I had to do to get on your good side was spit in your face? I would have done that days ago.
He's like, you also need to be an ugly piece of shit.
Yeah.
I've got a real specific thing.
So apparently he used to hunt with Tauntauns back on Tula. And he's like, ooh, you remind me of my old girl I used to hunt with. Ooh, you're a rascally one, aren't
you? Yeah, I love that she's like, I bet you're a real foul one.
I bet you're a big stinky piece of shit like me.
He loves these things because they're gross. He's like the Oscar the Grouch of space aliens.
Yeah. He's like, ooh, you belong in a dumpster and I love it.
Yeah, he's just so into it. He's like you with dogs.
Oh, yeah.
The grosser, stupider, uglier dog.
The biggest, dumbest, ugliest dog is going to be the one where I'm like, you're a sweet baby and I love you. You're the ugliest thing ever. You're the best.
I have one eye.
Oh, my God. You can't stop drooling. I love you so much.
Most of my teeth are connected to my spine.
Oh, you genetic abomination. Come here.
I have a cloud of flies that's surrounded by a smaller cloud of flies. I don't even know if I'm a color or not.
My hips don't work at all. My legs point up.
I'm like the opposite of Shakira.
My hips only tell lies. Can you get through this maze?
You've encountered Shakira and the anti-Shakira.
One of their hips only tells the truth, and one of their hips only lies.
Solve the riddle. Well, I think we filled up enough space-time. We're good.
Oh, yeah. Space-time is
space-time
totally
is full because of system mastery. I'm sorry, expounded universe.
So, yeah. The lights suddenly go out, and Tolk is Like, he's a weird predator thing, so he's got slightly better dark sense than Hestizo does. But then we hear a lot of movement and growling and shuffling, and basically a zombie horde is on the way through.
And every day they're shuffling.
Every day.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we also start hearing the dying screams of Tauntauns.
Yeah. And we hear the eating screams of zombies.
Yeah. And, you know, the dying scream of a Tauntaun is something like a, I think it's got a whacka, 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 or something like that. They kind of sound like Pac-Man. Yeah. I mean, we do actually hear them in Empire Strikes Back. You remember the noises they made? There was or something. Yeah, it's a bunch of crazy noises. They're lizards, by the way. They mentioned that in this chapter.
Yeah, big hairy lizards.
Big furry lizards with horns.
Yeah, four nostrils.
Mm-hmm. Four nostrils and four penises, and it doesn't get mentioned. I don't know why they
doesn't
don't
bring... It doesn't mention normally, but here we are.
Yeah, here we are discussing it on this show.
So, yeah. What's his name? Tulk. Tulk starts dragging Hestizo along and is, like, just sort of fumbling his way through.
Yeah.
And at some point, Hestizo remembers that she is, in fact, a Jedi,
mm-hmm.
calls out to the Force and is like, oh, yeah, I can use the Force to enhance my senses.
So she does it for, like, a split second. And in that split second, she sees the horrors. This entire paddock thing is completely full of what basically amounts to a wave of zombies coming through.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like we've got a train to Busan situation here.
Yeah, the tide's rolling in.
Yeah.
And the tide is zombies.
And that brief flash of the Force also let her know exactly where she needed to go to be safe.
And so it's not I forgot about this. We also get the scream that gets to a really high pitch and stays there.
Yeah.
Like the zombies all in unison going, ah! And like scream so loud that it... Yeah, they scream like the guys in friggin' Kansas. like not Kansas,
yeah, you know,
state.
The state. the guys in Kansas, well known.
Oh, finally, a stereotype about Kansas that isn't about how they're terrible.
It just isn't about how Republicans ruined their entire state.
Yeah, just turned it into a dumb pan-shaped hole in the country. And their response to, oops, we tried a bunch of things that didn't work and our state completely collapses. Let's try the same things harder.
But what if we just kept doing that?
I'm sure it'll turn around eventually. Keep digging.
So,
but no, the band Kansas, where they get the super high pitchy pitch. Maybe I'm thinking of Boston. I am thinking of Boston, not Kansas.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm thinking of Journey.
I'm thinking of Asia. I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Yes.
I'm thinking of America.
I'm coming to America today. I'm coming to America.
Yeah, so it turns out that their scream is actually echolocation.
Yeah. So her Jedi flash of insight, she does a quick maneuver that trips Tulk. She just like sticks her leg out, trips Tulk, rolls him into an empty paddock, and they are just like in the corner of a paddock somewhere, and he starts going like, hey, what the fuck? And she... like, digs her nails into his flesh until he goes, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, and he shuts up. And then we get a description of the pitch black full of zombies passing through and just eating the Tauntauns.
Just this.
I was really hoping for zombie Tauntauns. I don't know if you were too, or...
I kind of assumed we might get that, but I don't know.
I wanted some Zomtons. I don't know that we're going to get that. It doesn't come up. Anyway, they just rove right through, just screaming and shrieking and probing and eating and being horrible.
Yeah, and at some point, they just, like, fall completely silent, and then all you hear, you don't even hear them breathing. It's just the occasional...
Yeah, from them shoving into each other. And it's described that, of course, you don't hear them breathing. They don't breathe.
Yeah, they're dead.
Yeah, so they're just stuffing their way through this tube in a massive horde of dead Sith students.
Yeah, so the fact that they managed to hide in the empty paddock basically meant that the echolocation didn't find them.
Mm-hmm.
So they stopped screaming because they didn't hear anything else, and the wave passes them by.
Yeah, and then Tulk gets up and he's like, I'm mad at you.
If you do that again, I'll kill you. And I just love that his diesel's like, great, what would it matter? You'd already be dead. Who gives a shit?
I'm definitely going to die.
Yeah.
This doesn't...
Look, if I didn't do that, you would be dead anyway. He's like, look, I don't run and I don't hide.
And she's like, yeah, you do right now because those things, you don't know how to kill them yet.
Yeah, those are already dead. You can't fight them. our options are run, hide, or die. So if you want to pick the third one, great.
And he doesn't respond. This is the first time he's like, ah, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that Histizo has gotten a backbone and is just like, look, I've had enough of your shit, Tulk.
You are not fun to hang around with.
Look, I get it. Yes, if I do literally anything, you will kill me. Whatever. Anyway, I'm keeping us alive.
Yeah. So that's pretty much where the chapter ends.
Yeah.
They manage to escape a ravening wave of zombies.
And as they get outside, wait a minute. This isn't the way out. They are out front of the tower.
Yeah, they
yet
get
again.
Back to the tower, which means maybe we can check in with the body of Wim Nichter. He's there.
He's here.
That'd be great. So we've eliminated at least one more piece from the puzzle. Shacweth is gone.
Poor Shacweth.
Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the action has pushed forward very slightly. Rojo's still moving, but now he kind of knows about the zombies.
He kind of knows something's fucked up here.
Yeah. Wherever he goes, the wind follows.
Yeah, when wherever he goes, he brings the monkey with him.
That's true. He also does that.
Yeah.
The brass monkey, I believe, is the monkey in question.
Oh, yeah, that funky monkey.
That exactly, the funky monkey.
Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. That song is so old.
And so are we.
Oh.
Aww.
Anyway, I think that's just about it for this week. And once again, for folks who haven't heard this detail yet, we are actually taking the next episode off.
Yeah, next week is Christmas.
Next week is Christmas.
We're not going to be around.
Yeah, John's got out-of-town plans. I've got family stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, you got a new baby to celebrate a first Christmas with.
I know, and she has no idea. It's the bi-Christmas is basically the way we're looking at it.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have both ladies and dudes.
Every Christmas for me is a bi-Christmas.
Hey.
Ever since I was like 21 and figured that out. But in the interim, this is the easy Christmas because we don't have to worry about what she knows or doesn't. There's no skullduggery.
You don't have to worry if you got her the wrong thing.
Yeah, there's no fear at all. I mean, I'm sure when she's a teenager, I'll be so friggin' confused.
Oh, yeah.
But right now, it's just like, I got her a dumb book about stupid things. And she's like, I don't care.
Well, yeah, what's a book? Anyway, yeah. I'm going to put this in my mouth.
How much wrapping paper can I eat today? That's the only question I have for you, Dad.
Yeah.
So,
can you put me in that box with enough wrapping paper to keep me entertained for a while? Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to fall asleep in here and look really silly when I do.
Ugh. Man, hey, we got bonus content.
Oh, we sure do. I was just about to start waxing more about the kids, so thank you for catching me.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to let you continue to dad out.
But you know, but she loves fish, John.
You know what I love?
Hmm?
Bonus content.
Oh.
For only $2 at patreon.com/systemmastery, you can support us and you get the bonus content for Expounded Universe. And what is that, Jeff?
Why, the bonus content for Expounded Universe is Expanded Expounded Universe, where we go to Wikipedia, dig up interesting stories that may or may not be relevant to the episode that we just reviewed, and then we tell them not just to you, but to each other. In an amusing show we call Expanded Expounded Universe, available once again at patreon.com/systemmastery for a mere $2 per episode contribution. It ends up costing you about $4 a month, and you generate 4 episodes a month. What a friggin' deal.
Super deal. You also, at that level, unlock all the System Mastery bonus content.
You're up to 6 episodes a month.
And if you want to shoot that on up to $5, you unlock our monthly Afterthought episode, our Patreon only and Afterthought only channels in the Discord.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find that by finding us on Twitter, System Mastery on Twitter. We have a pinned tweet that you can find our Discord. Go join it. We keep getting new people all the time. The conversations are great. We've got a ton of different channels. If you like memes, we got a meme channel. You like being happy, we got a happy channel. You like video games, we got a video game channel.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of channels. Come on in and say hi to folks. We love you.
We love all of you.
Welcome to Costco.
Welcome to Costco. I love you.
So there you have it. Now, John, have I told you about Squarespace recently?
Have you?
I haven't, because we don't do ads on these shows. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Until next time, I've been Elan Sleazebagano and Brains.
Hostess Fruit Brains?
Hostess Fruit Brains.
I love Hostess Fruit Brains.
Oh, hi there. I'm Solomon Grundy for Hostess Fruit Brains.